You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Trei Asara podcast. Today we're going to start learning the book of Amos. Unlike the book of Yonah, right, which was the first book in Trei Asar that we learned together in our podcast series, the book of Amos provides us with a lot of information about the prophet. In Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Divrei Amos Asher Haya Vanokdim Mitkoa Asher Chaza Al Yisrael B'yimei Uziyah Melech Yehuda U'v'yimei Yeravam Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael Shnataim Lifnei Harash. So these are the words of Amos. Right? The Midrash tells us that if the name of a father is mentioned in when introducing a prophet, that means that the father was a prophet as well, right? Yishayahu ben Amos, for example, right? So Amos, his father, was a prophet as well, according to the Midrash. Here, no father's name is mentioned, so we might assume from this that Amos was not the son of a prophet, although he obviously was a prophet himself. And then it says, Asher haya vanokdim mitkoa. Right, so nokdim means shepherd, right? So he was from among the shepherds of Tekoa, a place called Tekoa. Now, those of you who are familiar with the geography of Israel might know that there are two yeshuvim in eastern Gush Etzion, not terribly far from where I live in Efrat, called Tekoa and Nokdim. So Tekoa, it seems, is the same Tekoa as where Amos is from, where the prophet Amos is from. There are some opinions who think that Amos was from a different Tekoa, that there was another place called Tekoa that was in northern Israel, and that he was from there. The reason they believe this is because he prophesizes to the northern kingdom, to Malchut Yisrael, and therefore it seems he must have been from there. Others say no, Dafka, he was not from there. He was from Malchut Yehuda, who was from the south, from this area, from the Gush Etzion area, what is now the Gush Etzion area, but he prophesied about the northern kingdom. So most agree that the Tekoa of today is, if not exactly where, but somewhere near the Tekoa of Amos. Nokdim, the modern Yeshuv Nokdim, is named after this profession of Amos, in other words, because of the association of Amos with Tekoa and with this thing in Nokdim. But like I said, originally Nokdim was not the name of a place, it was the name of Amos's profession. As we learn through the book of Amos, we will see that the fact that he was a shepherd, he was an outdoors man, he was a man of nature who spent a lot of time in nature, comes through in his prophecies, right? He uses a lot of imagery from nature, as we will see in the very next pasuk and in much of the book. He prophesied, we are told, as I mentioned earlier, to the northern kingdom, Asher Chaza al Yisrael. In other words, so his prophecies are aimed towards the northern kingdom, not towards Yehuda, but towards Yisrael. And when did he prophesy? B'yimei Uziyah Melech Yehuda, during the days of Uziyah, the king of Yehuda, and Yeravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael. This is the same Yeravam ben Yoash, for those of you who listened to the Yonah podcast, that we talked about there, right? If you recall, there's a mention of a prophet named Yonah ben Amittai, who most assume is the same as the prophet in the book of Yonah, who prophesied during the time of Yeravam ben Yoash. So if you recall, we spoke about him there. This is the same Yeravam ben Yoash. So assuming that the identification of Yonah from Trei Asar with the Yonah from Sefer Melachim is correct, so then we can say that Yonah and Amos prophesied generally during the same time, or certainly overlapped. And then the pasuk continues, Shnataim lifnei harash. He prophesied 2 years before the earthquake. What is this earthquake? So apparently during the time of excuse me, King Uzziah, there was an earthquake. And this is an earthquake that made a very strong impression on Am Yisrael at the time, the people of the area of the time. So much so that in the book of Zechariah, in Perek Yudalid, Zechariah, who, don't forget, lived much later, right? He prophesies at the beginning of the time of Bayit Sheni, after Shivat Zion, he makes reference to this earthquake during the time of Uzziah. So it must have been a very memorable event. So it says here that he prophesied 2 years before the earthquake. There's a little bit of a debate as to how exactly to date the prophecies. Were all of his prophecies 2 years before? Did he just start prophesying 2 years before, but continued afterwards as well? Technicalities. It is very interesting to point out, and this we will see as we learn the book of Amos, that just like we saw that his profession influences his prophecies and the imagery that he uses, this earthquake also colors and is peppered, so to speak, throughout his prophecies, perhaps an indication that some of his prophecies at least were after the earthquake and therefore could be influenced by that experience. When that imagery shows up, the earthquake imagery, I will certainly point it out during the course of our learning of the book of Amos. Already in the second pasuk, in pasuk bet, we see the influence of his profession, of the fact that he's a man of the outdoors, a shepherd. Pasuk bet, Vayomar, Hashem mitzion yishag umi Yerushalayim yiten kolo. Right, Hashem will roar from Tzion, right, from Yerushalayim his voice will go out. The avlu nivot haroim, and the pastures of the shepherds, right, the places where the shepherds graze their sheep will become desolate. The yavesh rosh haKarmel, right, and the rosh of the Carmel, the summit of the Carmel, which is known for being very fertile and green, will dry up. In other words, because of these prophecies that are coming forth from Hashem through his prophet, the landscape will dry up. In other words, so strong and withering are the other words of Hashem. So we see here already that he uses the imagery of the pastures, of the shepherds, you know, the places where a shepherd would walk with his flock, right? So we see his everyday life, so to speak, influencing the imagery that he uses in his words as a prophet. These two psukim are basically the introduction to the book of Amos. Starting with Pasuk Gimel, we have the first prophecy proper. I actually want to, before we continue, and we're actually not going to start with the first prophecy, we're going to do things some of the time a little bit out of order, but I first want to give a little bit more of a background today to the book of Amos and the time period in which Amos was prophesying, so that we have get a good idea as to what he was talking about, what were the issues that he was dealing with, who was the audience that he was addressing. As we already saw, Amos prophesied during the time of Uzziah, Melech Yehuda, and Yeravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael. Now, the king that is really of concern to us is Yeravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael, because, as we also saw in Pasuk Aleph, Amos prophesied to the northern kingdom. So the nature of the kingdom of the north of Israel is more relevant to us than what was going on in Yehuda at the same time. As you will remember, if you were with us when we learned Sefer Yonah, Yeravam ben Yoash shows up in the book of Malachim Bet Perek Yudalid. And so I'm going to do a bit of review again on what we learned about Yeravam ben Yoash from those psukim. So in Melachim Bet Perek Yudalet Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Bishnat 15 shana la Matziahu ben Yoash Melech Yehuda, Malach Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael Bishomron, 41 shana. Right. So the first thing we know is that he reigned for 41 years. Vayas hara be'ene Hashem lo sar mikol chatot Yeravam ben Nevat asher echti et Yisrael. Right, he did not walk in the path of Hashem, and he did all of the sins that Yeravam ben Nevat, the first Yeravam, did, meaning worshipping God through idols, etc. Right, Yeravam ben Nevat, the first Yeravam, was the one who brought the Agalim to the northern kingdom, the calves. Hu heshiv et gevul Yisrael milevo chamat ad yam ha'arava kidvar Hashem Elohe Yisrael. Right, he expanded the borders of Yisrael all the way from Levo Chamat in the north ad yam ha'arava until the Dead Sea in the south. Just as Hashem had said, "Asher diber biyad avdo Yonah ben Amitai Navi asher migat hachefer." Right, this is the pasuk with Yonah ben Amitai that we mentioned in our Sefer Yonah podcast. Ki ra'a Hashem et oni Yisrael more meod ve'efes atzur ve'efes azuv ve'ein ozer li Yisrael. Velo diber Hashem limchot et shem Yisrael mitachat hashamayim vayoshi'em biyad Yeravam ben Yoash. So, because despite the fact that Yeravam was a bad king and caused the people to sin, Hashem had compassion on Yisrael and did not want to destroy them at this point, and therefore he saved them during the time of Yeravam and Yoash. V'yeter divrei Yeravam asher asa u'gvurato asher nilchem v'asher heshiv et damesek ve'et chamat liYehuda b'Yisrael, and all the other things that Yeravam ben Yoash did, and all the battles that he fought, and the fact that he conquered Damesek and Chamat, halohim k'tuvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yisrael. Wait, this is written in sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yisrael. Vayishkav Yeravam im avotav im malchei Yisrael vayimloch zecharya v'no tachtav. Okay, so this is what we are told in Malachim Bet about Yeravam. This information becomes even more meaningful if you see it within the context of the kings who came before him and the kings who come after him. Now, I'm not going to read about all the kings inside with the psukim. I will suffice with a quick summary of what happens during that time. So, we're going to go back a few kings before him to Achav ben Omri. Right, this is the king during the time of Eliyahu Hanavi. He rules for 22 years. He's killed in a battle with Aram. And it's during his time that actually the trouble with Aram begins. Right, Aram, the kingdom to the northeast of Israel, starts giving Israel trouble at this time. Next comes Ahaziah ben Achav. He rules for 2 years, right? Not quite as successful. He fights against Moab. Yeravam ben Achav rules for 12 years, slightly better. He also fights against Moab and Aram. During his time is the rebellion of Yehu ben Nimshi, right? Yehu ben Nimshi is the king who takes over after him, who kills off the dynasty of Achav and sets up his own dynasty. He rules for 28 years, right? Like I said, he kills off all of the previous dynasty before him. Also fights against Aram during that time. Then comes Yehoahaz ben Yehu, his son. He rules for 17 years. More dealings with Aram during that time. Next comes Yehoash ben Yehoahaz. He rules for 6 years. Here we have some fighting with Amatziah, right? Melech Yehuda, right? So during this time, there's periodic fighting also between Yehuda and Yisrael, and not just with enemies from without. And then we have Yeravam ben Yoash, who rules for 41 years. That's the king that we're talking about now. And during his time, he expands the boundaries to the extent that they hadn't been expanded since the days of Shlomo HaMelech, meaning the golden age of the kings. He expanded the borders as widely as had been during that time. And the fact that he conquers Damascus tells us that during Yeravam ben Yoash's time, there is no more trouble with Aram. He has finally gotten rid of that enemy in the north. So this is an extremely positive time for Am Yisrael, right? The borders are extremely wide. The The main enemy of the time has been vanquished. And Yerevan Ben Yoash rules for 41 years, which is a little bit less than twice as long, a little less than twice as long than the other kings who led up to him. Right, the most that anybody had ruled in all those kings I listed before was 28 years, 22 years, 2 years, 12 years, 17 years, 6 years, 6 months, right? Much shorter reigns during that time. And during his time, he rules for 41 years, he gets rid of Aram, he conquers much land. It is a time of peace and a time of prosperity. All this, I remind you, despite the fact that that he wasn't a good king, right? The book of Melachim Bet goes out of its way to explain that this all happened because Hashem had compassion on Yisrael, despite the fact that this was a time that the king caused the people to sin. After Yeravam ben Yoash, we have Zechariah ben Yeravam, who ruled for 6 whole months. Then there's Shalom ben Yavesh, who ruled for a month. Then we have Menachem ben Gadi, who ruled for a very long 10 years. And then Pekachyahu ben Menachem, who ruled for 2 years, right? So, oh wait, one more. Then there's Hoshea ben Elah, who rules for 9 years, right? So you get the point, right? Before Yerevan ben Yoash, there was relative instability, and after Yerevan ben Yoash, is even worse situation in terms of the instability. But during his 41-year reign, there's peace and there's tranquility. Right, Aram, again, the nation that they have been fighting for 87 years, has finally been conquered. But after Yerevan's time, you know, 41 years later, the northern kingdom has already been swept away by Ashur. Right? So there's a very quick demise after his time, and that they are conquered and basically never seen again, at least not in their whole form. So during the time of Yerevan ben Yoash, right, Yisrael is feeling pretty good. Like, this is probably the best time in Malchut Yisrael that there ever is. And perhaps it is sadly predictable that this has a negative effect on the people. Right? Already in Sefer Devarim, we hear all about how when things are good, Bnei Yisrael don't listen. Right? Vayishman Yisrael vayivat. When things are good for Am Yisrael, they forget Hashem and they start doing all sorts of chataim. It is against this backdrop that one has to understand the prophecies of Amos, right? That during this time of Yerevan ben Yoash, of peace and prosperity, and as we will see when we read the prophecies, a time of great wealth, at least for part of the population, it is against this backdrop that you have to understand Amos' prophecies. So we will start with one of those prophecies in next week's podcast. For today, we will suffice with this introduction, and I look forward to continuing with you next week.